So we're gonna start a three-part series about who's to blame, or basically for the failure of the first generation. I'll read my intro in a minute. So I'll read my intro and then we'll get into it. So the next few weeks, I want to time this with Parshat Shavua, in both in Israel and Chutz Laaretz. So we have coming up is Balotcha in Chutz Laaretz and Shlach, and then Korach and Chukat. And all the stories are very tragic because basically the first generation starts, you know, on the way to Israel and they don't make it. And of course, bottom line, it's a failure. It's a tragedy because they never make it. So we want to understand what went wrong and what we can learn. In other words, is Chumash just a history book to tell us what happened? Or does it carry a message for all generations? Of course, we're going to puzzle the letter.
Can you load the score sheet? Is that possible?
The store sheet? I actually sent it pretty late, so probably they didn't post it yet.
Yeah, I don't know if it got up yet. I apologize.
No, it's my fault. I sent it. Shabbos was over last night, like 10 o'clock California time, which was, you know, 2 in the morning LA time. So we didn't get that out.
Good morning here. Whatever. We just got it a few minutes ago. We'll try to get it up. But otherwise, you just have to.
The truth is, you don't need a source sheet. It's just open the Tanakh. We'll see. Okay, it's just Pesukim. Now, if you look at the title, the failure of the first generation, part one, it's the prophets' exegesis and psalmist, part number 13. You understand why? Because this could have been the next year in the previous series. In fact, that was the plan. But Rabbi wanted me to start something new after Shavuot. So what we're going to do now, we're going to see why the answer to that question is Tehillim 78. A parak that we studied probably when we did something preparation for the Seder a year ago, 2-3 years ago, because we quote it in the Seder. But Tehillim chapter 78 is a critical chapter in understanding Chumash, but it's one of the best examples of how the psalmist is an exegete. Now, I think we did this in our pre-Pesach series. We probably brought this as an example, but we're going to do it from a different angle. So we're going to read just the opening lines of Mizmor Ayin Chet. And before we begin, one last word of introduction. The idea of who to blame when something goes wrong is a theme in Chumash ever since chapter 2 or chapter 3 of Bereshit, isn't it?
Yes.
Because as soon as God makes man, he does something wrong. And who does Adam HaRishon blame his problem on? First, he blames his wife. That becomes a binyan av for all future marriages. And then he blames God, remember? He says, what do you want from me, God? He goes, she's the one who made me sin, right? And you're the one who made her and gave her to me. So what do you want from me? And ever since then, that's like the beginning of a humankind in the relationship with God. And that's why God says you have to go out of Gan Eden and start over again to understand relationships. Now, we're going to read the first 8 lines of chapter 78. I won't need to explain anymore. Actually, I'm going to go right to verse 8 and then work backwards to show you why this is the title. In verse 8, it says, we shouldn't be like our ancestors, a generation, a dor sorel moren, okay? Dor lo echin libo v'lo nemna la rucho. All you need is read that line, and you don't need to come to the next 3 shurim. If you want to know who's to blame, the generation wasn't ready for redemption. Dor lo echin libo, okay? V'lo nemna la et el rucho. And he wasn't steadfast. We'll see what the word emunah means later on. With God, with his ruach. The word ruach is going to be key. Keep that in mind. Ruach here doesn't mean wind. I'm not sure. I'm just going to call it ruach. We'll see why as we go on. Now, let's see the beginning of the parak and see what message Tehillim is trying to give us. Maskil Asaf. Asaf, remember, was one of the chief Levites in the time of King David. Hazina ami torati hatu aslechem nimrfi. That's plagiarizing. Shirat Hazinu. Remember, we probably did a show way back in Shirat Hazinu, but in a nutshell, Shirat Hazinu is an eternal song, the end of Chumash, who to blame when something goes wrong. If something goes wrong in Jewish history, don't blame God, blame yourselves. Just a quick line that you know by heart. How's it begin? Hatsur, tamim polo, ki chod rahab mishpat. God's always right. El amunah ben avel. Maybe I should share my screen and show it to you. See this line again? Hazinu amit torati atuvos nechem nimrfi. I want to show you how the Mizmor is quoting from Chumash and sharing an idea. We'll stop this share and open a Tanakh real fast. We don't want this one. We want English Hebrew. And we want Devarim chapter 32. Devarim. chapter 32. Hazinu Hashemayim Badabera, got it? That's the introduction. Hatsur Tamim Polo. God's always right. Kichol Drachah Mishpat. All his ways are perfect. They're just. El Emunah. How do they translate that? Faithfulness. Again, I would say a God that you can trust. Vein Avel. No iniquity. Tzadik V'yasharu. God's always right. I Shichet Lo? Question mark. If something goes wrong, are you going to blame him? What's the answer? Lo. No. His children are to blame. Dor Ikeshuv Tato. A crooked in perverse generation. Okay? Allah Adonai Tikmuzot. Are you going to blame this on God? You stupid people. I'm the Baba Lo Chacham. God made you. He bought you. He created you. Okay? He got you already. God wants you to work for him. God has goals for you. If something goes wrong, it's punishment for bad behavior. It's not for no reason. And then go learn your Jewish history, Zechori Motolam, etc. So when, if the Mizmor's Pech Ayin Chet, the Mizmor we're going to read now, is beginning with Shirat Hazinu, you understand how the psalmist understood Shirat Hazinu. He just read it. And it makes sense why he quotes it. So let's go back now to our source sheet. Here we are. Maskil itself again, Hazinu Mitor Tia Tuas Nachem Nimrifi. Basically, remember who to blame when things go wrong. Again, a word of introduction. These are all poetic introductions. And then, a bit cryptic. We're going to talk about things that we heard, and we know them, basically stories that we heard that our parents and ancestors told us. Okay. Now, what we heard from our parents, we can't hide this from our children. No, they didn't hide it from their children. And we can't hide it from our children. Therefore, the Dor Acharon means to the next generation and the next one after that. What do we have to tell? Mesapin tilot Hashem bezuzov v'niflotav asher asa. There's a need not only to teach mitzvot and teach commandments to our children, but also the praises of God, all the great things he's done, his wondrous works, his strength and everything he's done for us. So we need to tell stories to our children to strengthen our understanding of God and his ability to be involved in our history. Yeah. In addition to the stories about great Kaddis and why he chose us, Vayakim Edut B'Yakov, Edut usually means laws in Sefer Tehillim. I wouldn't call it testimony. I think here it's laws. Because the parallel of Torah, Sam B'Yisrael, God gave us instructions and laws. Asher Tzivat Avoteinu Lodim Lifnehem. Our parents were not only commanded to tell the stories of Chumash to our children, but also to their children and grandchildren. But we also have to teach them the laws and the instructions of how to follow God, what we call Torah. Why? Leman yidu dor acharon, so that the next generation will know that and internalize it. Banimi v'leidu, the children they give birth to, yakumu v'yisapru divehem, and they have to teach their children. And that's the this was an introduction also to the Seder night. This has a lot to do with the last Seder. Then v'yasimu be'elohim kislam, then they can put their faith in God. If they learn the stories and keep the laws, then they'll put their faith in God, their confidence in God, because they won't forget God's ability to be involved in the history, and that will motivate them to keep their mitzvot. Keep this idea, and we're going to return to this next week, the connection between God's help and our keeping mitzvot. We need that to understand what happened with the story of the spies. And now comes the grand conclusion. We shouldn't be like our ancestors. It was the take-home message from Chumash is to learn from their mistakes, and why he calls them a dor sorel moreh. That's wordplay from the book of Devarim, where we have the law of a son who's a ben sorel moreh. And now we're talking about parents, or a whole generation that was that went astray and rebellious and stubborn. Okay, and what was the problem? A generation that wasn't ready, its heart wasn't ready for redemption, hachanat alev, and wasn't steadfast with the Ruach. Now keep that idea of Ruach in mind. We're going to return to it soon. I'm skipping the next 10 lines of the Mizmor, just for sake of time. I want to get to where the Mizmor is going to go through and talk about how bad we were, how good God was to us, and how bad we were to him. So verses 9 through 17 focus primarily what God did for us. And now it talks about what we did bad. Vaynasu el bevavam. They tested God, and the heart means they didn't believe that God would be able to take care of them. Remember Masel Meriva? Amnasotam et Hashem in Parshat, we'll see it later in Parshat B'Shalach. So the people we're testing God, not trusting that we're testing him. Lisha ochel nafsham, asking for food. Okay. They question, is God able to provide for us in the desert? Now, there's two possible stories this could be. It could be the manna story in Parsha B'Shalach, or it could be the manna story in Parsha Balotcha. And we have to figure that out. When they're asking for food, was this good or bad? Because if there's no food, it makes sense to ask for food.
Hey, you've already helped me. You're just the most wonderful Chewy company. I have a question, and thank you for working on Sunday. Just about my audio.
Okay. That wasn't a question for me. Okay. Sorry about that. I did the mute, don't worry. Now, by the way, we did this on Shabbat Barken. Then the people, had they been learning Gemara, they would know this. They could make a Kal V'Chomer. Hei nikat zur, by a sort of a mind, if God was able, if Moshe could hit the rock and bring water, and have water flowing like he did from Har Sinai, do you think he can't bring food? Don't you think God's able to provide for his people and give them food and flesh and means meat? L'chein shema Hashem v'itabar, therefore God heard and got angry. Remember v'itabar by Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshat Betchanan, v'itabar Hashem b'i. But that means anger. It's when you're holding something back and then it comes through. That's vaitaber from avar. Avar means something to pass through, holding back something and then woo. It's like an ubar. When someone's pregnant, it's called litaber because the baby should go through the channel, but it's being held back until it's ready to give birth. So vaitaber when your Rashi says by Moshe Rabbeinu hitbalei chemai, it was full of anger. So God was holding back his anger and then gave it to him. And he brought fire against Yaakov. And his anger came to Israel. We'll see in a minute, that's going to be the mitonanim. Remember, there's fire. God got angry. And we'll see what happens there. Why? It's not that they didn't believe in God. They believed that God existed. They just don't trust him. I don't like this translation, believe for emunah. Remember, we'll see emunah means to be trustworthy. To have faith and be supportive of God, like the word amen in Hebrew. It's to support and to agree. Okay. Now, what did God do? God, now we see for sure it's a story in Balotcha, like Sav Shachakim Imao. Okay. He commanded from the skies above and opened up the doors of heaven. And he brought down man from heaven. And also, you know, and basically wheat from heaven. Lechem Abir Machal Ish, Tzedah Shalach Lem Nesova, he gave us food. And then Yasak Hadim B'Shamayim, he brought a wind from the heaven. What do you call it? Of Kanaf, he brought the Slav. He brought birds to feed him. And here's our story from Parsha Balotcha. Even though he sends food, remember the he brings the Slav, the Safsuf. Okay? Many people died okay, around the Mishkan because they ate too much Slav. That's Kibrot HaTava. We're going to read the story very soon. They were still have stuffing their mouths, and all of a sudden, God punished them. Okay? God got angry at the people for eating, overeating. The Slav, he heard b'mishmanehem, the ones who overate, the ones who got too fat. And he smote down the young men of Israel. And again, Steve for sure is talking about the story in Balotcha. And despite all this, they continue to sin because in the next Parsha, Parsha Balotcha and Parsha Shlach, they sin again. Okay? They didn't build their trust with all the miracles that God did. And therefore, that's the door that dies in the desert. But they don't make it to Israel, they just stay in the desert. Okay? And whenever he killed them, they would maybe pray to God and then they went back and turned their back on God. Okay? Okay. So every once in a while, they remember that God saved them. The Ela Yon Goalam. That's going back to Tzirat Hazinu, remember? Okay. So they started to pray to him. They said God will be better. And then they lied and didn't follow with what they said. And now comes the big, here's the key point to make. V'libam, this is a summary of the whole unit. V'libam lo nachonimo. Their heart was not ready. Nachon, be ready and prepared. Their heart wasn't ready for redemption. They weren't trustworthy in their covenantal commitment. Right? It's not a question of believing, like philosophically or intellectually, but rather it's acting in a way, being trustworthy and supportive of God. Because they weren't good covenantal partners. Now, if they're so bad, why did God save us? Why didn't just give up? And now, right out of Davening, what does the Mizmor quote? And this is the praise of God, not a request. This is a comment by Mizmor. Why is it that God always gives us another chance? And that's why we say this in Davening every day. It was just worth the share. I appreciate why we say this so many times in Davening. Okay. This is why God always is willing to give us another chance, because Hu Rachum, God is as Midat HaRachamim. Remember from Shmot chapter 34, God's attributes of mercy. He'll atone sin or cover up sin. V'lo yashchit. Remember, he won't totally destroy his people. V'ba'al hashiva po. In many ways, he's going to hold back his anger. Remember? Instead of Charon, he'll be Erech HaPaim, instead of Charonav. V'lo ye'er kol chamato. He won't kindle his entire anger. He'll give us always another chance. Why? Listen here. Vayizkor ki basar hema. God remembers their only flesh. Ruach holech v'lo yashuv. Now, who can tell me where's this coming from in Parsha Balotcha? How is this commentary in Balotcha in the story of the Slav? God will remember their only flesh, right? A fleeing spirit, a ruach, whatever that is again. Man is simply a fleeing ruach, and he dies and doesn't return. Anyone have an idea? Where do we have this concept of basar and ruach in
Doesn't he say that? Moshe says that I need to find someone who is basar and ruach to lead the people. Something like that.
Moshe says
it's in one of our prayers.
Basar, no, but comes from that. He
in which prayer someone, do we have basar and ruach?
The in creator of Elohai Neshama Shana Tatabi Tohorahi. I'm panicking just because I'm in
fight. Okay, I don't think it's
but
there.
It comes right then, after that.
It's the 70 elders. The Ruach of Moshe goes on to them. It's shared out to them.
Yeah, that's going to be our story in Parshat Balotcha. So people in Israel read this already in Shabbat. You guys will read it next week. But it's the story of the 70 elders, but more than that. We're going to read the story soon. In that story, we're going to have Ruach that's going to bring the Slav and bring the Basar. The people complain about Miachilinu Basar. Moshe says, do I have Basar for all them? The word Basar is key in that story. And the word Ruach is key in that story. But I want to show you that's a story of leadership, which we'll get to already in the next week. But we have Ruach and Basar. Now, someone mentioned something really neat. There's two other stories later on in Sefer Bamidbar that have Ruach and Basar. We're going to deal with them in detail when we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu. But I'll stop to share here. But this is rather amazing. I'll work backwards. In Sefer Bamidbar, there's a section that really should be in Sefer Devarim. In chapter 27 of Sefer Bamidbar, for some reason, God tells Moshe it's time to die way before the book is over. We're in the wrong book. We want to go to Sefer Bamidbar, not Devarim. Sefer Bamidbar, chapter 27, verse 12. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, in verse 12, go up to Har Avarim, to Mount Nebo, and see the land, and look at the land, then gather to your people, because you're going to die there, because you rebelled against me. Amen, Riva. Then we'll have a share that later on. And basically, God tells Moshe it's time to die and doesn't tell him who's going to take over. And then we have the famous line by Daber Moshe Hashem Lemor. And Moshe turns to God, asking to appoint the leader before he dies. And how does he appeal to God? Yifkod Hashem Elohi al ruchot l'cho basar isha leida. See that? That's, I think, is the word in English an appellation? Is that the right word in English? An appellation when you describe God a certain way?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a strange, like when we say Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov. Why is God called Elohei Aruchot L'chol Basar? It rarely ever happens. But for some reason, when it has to do with leadership, Moshe turns to God, that he demands he appoint someone. Remember, the book's called Chumash HaPkudim. It's not called Numbers. It's not called Chumash HaMisparim. It's not the book of Numbers. It's the book of charges or commands. Okay? God should appoint. Okay? And who's God? Elohei Aruchot Lecho Basar. Ish Alayda, someone in charge of the community. Asher Yisei Lifneim, Asher Yivod Lifneim. Moshe is looking for a leader. The people shouldn't be like Tzom, Asher Enlem Ro'eh, like shepherds without sheep without a shepherd. You'll see that's going to come up in Ayin Chet again. Okay. And God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Kach et Yahshua bin Nun, Ish, human, with flesh, Asher Ruach bo, B'samachti Adat Alav. Now, what's this Ruach? If you know NCSY, if you know leadership, you know the idea of Ruach and leadership? It's someone with Ruach is someone who's able to inspire other people. If you know the Rambam in Mori Nevuchim, he talks about Nevuah. It's about different levels of Nevuah. The beginning level of Nevuah he talks about is when someone's in the middle of a group and something's going on and things are bad and someone gets up in the middle of the group and takes action. And is inspired to try to fix things. So he calls that's like the tiniest level of prophecy. You know, afterwards you have to climb the ladder to get to Moshe Rabbeinu. But the idea that there's a Ruach in a person to do something, to take leadership, to try to affect this community, he refers to that as Ruach. Okay. And then put him in charge without going, we're not going to learn Parsha Pinchas now, but it's interesting, this idea of Ruach and Basar comes up in relation to leadership. And we had it one time earlier in the story of Korach. In chapter 16, if you remember, when what happened? God's about to kill everybody. Remember, God's had it with everybody. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, "Hibadu b'toch haidah zot v'chalav tam Korach." God, get out of there. Remember, get out of the whole situation with Korach and his haidah, and let me kill them all, eat them up. V'yiplu al p'neim v'yamru, Moshe and Aaron fall on their face, and they say, "El, Elohei aruchot l'cho basar, you the God," again, the strange appellation of God. So there's no doubt that this phrase, the God of Ruchot Lecho Basar, has a lot to do with leadership. If I'm looking for what's going on with leadership, what's happening, Ruach and Basar are already buzzwords or key words that are going to bring us in a certain direction. So in light of that now, let's close my chumash and go back to our source sheet. Where are we? I'll check the chat in a minute. So again, Vaiskorki Basar Hema, we're back into the Ayin Chet. Ruach Olech V'lo Yeshuv. That ends part one of the Mizmor. And then this we did before Pesach. Look how much they made God bitter in the desert. They annoyed him terribly in their stay in the desert. They continued to test God, again, and give him trouble. And they didn't remember God's great hand, the day that God took him out from their enemies, that how he brought all the, in Egypt, he put all the signs, basically all the miracles, the Totem of Tim. State Tzolom is another name for Egypt. Okay? And then we go through all the Makot. Remember Dam, Tzvardea. This, and remember this was, we gave a Sharni Shalachman Korona Po. I'm sure I did that. Why we quote that at the Seder. Remember my whole point was the reason that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi, no, Rabbi Akiva and I think Rabbi Gamliel, they're the ones who quote this Pasek. For every Makot, was four Makot or five Makot. They're not just making up a numbers game. They're telling you to look at Tehillim Ayin Chet to understand what the real message of the Seder is about passing on traditions to your children and learning from their mistakes and to be worthy of a future redemption. Okay, so we're not going to read that part, but it's really cute. After he brings the Makot, we're over. We get to find the next generation because Vayasak Ketzon Amo Vayinagim Ke'eder Bamidbar. Okay, God led his people like sheep. And he led them like an editor. So the idea of a tzon, for Moshe Rabbeinu's request for leadership, we have the same theme in Tehillim. If you want to see something really cute, but I shouldn't do this, but just, I didn't want to sidetrack. But if you look how Mizmor Ayin Chet finally ends. Remember, it's a Mizmor by Asaph, who was appointed by King David to be the chief psalmist. He talks about how God left the tribe of Ephraim and picked the tribe of David and picked David to be the leader. And if we go back to Psalm 78, where are we? 78. If we look at the very, like the bottom lines, remember it's a very long list more. What happens? Okay. Okay, he picks Shevet. He's angry with Shevet Yosef, with Shevet Ephraim lo bachar. He picks Shevet Yehuda. Okay, he picks up by Yibchar b'David Abdo, by Kechil b'Mchotzon. He picks David, a shepherd who's taking care of his sheep. Okay, v'irot b'Yakov amo b'Yisrael nachotom. He picked David to be the shepherd to watch the sheep of his people. By Yirem, that's what a shepherd does. Okay, ketom levavo u'tvidoto kapav yamchem. So David becomes the shepherd who takes care of the sheep. We have the same thing from Shirat Hazino we had, and that we saw before, and from Moshe Rabbeinu asking for leadership. Amiso shouldn't be Ketzon Hasharim Lo'roeh. So you see again how the Mizmor. Remember that was the title. We finished Psalmist now as exegetes. There's no doubt this Mizmor is a beautiful pirush commentary on Sefer Bamidbar, and who's to blame for the how the people. If I go to my title this week, who's to blame for the failure of the first generation? There's no doubt the people were to blame according to Tehillim Ayin Chet and with lots of support. Now, in light of this, we're going to read Parshat Shavua by Midbar chapter 11. It's a rather famous stuff, but I'm sorry, wrong size. I want to make it smaller. Okay, there we go. The first three psukim stand alone, but they're an important introduction. Right before Vayim Soro, remember the first 10 chapters of Midbar, everything's great, we're getting ready to travel. The people are complaining. Every sure rabbi knows, every teacher knows. People starting up, complaining, murmuring, blah, 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 blah. God's not happy. God hears the murmurs. Got it? Vayicharapo, he gets angry. He brings fire at Hashem and starts. People start dying at the edge of the camp. God is angry with his people for the murmuring. He doesn't like their attitude, hoping that a little punishment might wake them up a little bit. Moshe, like he's done before, sticks up for the people. By tzakam Moshe, the people complain to Moshe, hey, how come God's punishing us? By palel Moshe Hashem, batishkaish, Moshe davens to God, and the fire stops. Remember how that happened over and over again? God wanted to destroy the people after Chet Egel. Remember, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, atahanichali, ba'ichat ba'ben, ba'chalem, allow me, and let me kindle my anger against them, and I'll eat them up. And Moshe davens, remember, ba'icham Moshe p'nei Hashem. Moshe, up until this point, including here, has always prayed on behalf of the people. Now, they named the place, like Rashi Makomahu Tavera, but they call the place Tavera, but that's Birat, a fire, because there God's anger was kindled up against them. Then we have the next story. Aleph Gimel sets the stage in a contrast, because now there's a new complaint. Hasafsuf Hashir B'Kirbol. Now, that's going to be the budget words, Asaf. See the word Asaf there means to collect? The word Asaf is coming up over and over again. The rebel rousers, the troublemakers who are in their midst. Now, notice English says the mixed multitude. That's not what I said. That's Erev Rav. But the English translation is already taking Midrash Chazal that the Safsuf are not Jews. They're from the Erev Rav who came out of Egypt. And that's based on how they understand the word gum coming up. So they started. They had a taiva for a taiva. We'll talk about what that means in a minute. And they cried in front of God. Even Bnei Yisrael cried to God. Okay. They want food. The example I always like when I teach this to yeshiva students, right? They don't like yeshiva food. There's plenty. They're not starving. There's what to eat. They have a taiva for a taiva. Got it? They want to go out to eat. They want pizza. They don't like yeshiva food. And Rav Mital always used to say, if the students are complaining about food, that means the shiurim aren't good. Not the kitchen to blame, the rabbeim to blame. Because if guys are learning and serious about learning, they're not going to complain about the food. There's a lot of truth to that. You know, it's if you're really busy and dedicated to something, of course, you need food, but you don't go out, you don't complain about the food. But when you have nothing to do and you're not happy, you complain about the food. Now, so they complain about the food. Okay. And they start complaining the man that God gave them is not good enough for them. They remember it, remember the food back at home, back in Egypt. That's, their hearts, got it, are in Egypt. They remember the fish in Egypt. That we ate in Egypt, the kishuim, whatever they are in English, cucumbers. No, in Hebrew they're squash. Avatechim, that's watermelons. Chatzir, betzalim, shumim, garlic, and onions. They remember the good old normal food. Okay. Now we just have this lousy manna, again referred to as yeshiva food. Okay. And then Chumash tells us, hey, the manna wasn't so bad. It could taste whatever you wanted to taste like, and how the people. You can make manna ice cream. You can make manna schnitzel. It's just like soya and tofu. You can make anything you want out of it, even cakes and things like that. And the man would fall, and people would have. Notice the psukim are saying the man was fine, and the people were just complaining to complain. And now the word ta'va is cute because remember, hitavu ta'va, that goes back to Gan Eden and the first sin of even Gan Eden. Remember, the fruit was ta'va hilainayim. Again, we're going back to early stories of sin in the beginning of Chumash. And of course, the word tava you have, not only here, but we have in what's the last of the Ten Commandments? What's the last of the Ten Commandments?
Lo tachmod.
Lo tachmod, and in Devarim?
Oh, titava.
Aha, I like that. So there. So I guess that's proof that the commandment in Devarim was another version of the ones they heard the first time around. Okay. So again, this time of for a taiva is both Moshe and God are angry. Now comes the interesting part in Pasuk Yod. Okay. Vayishma Moshe ta'am bochel mishpochotav. Moshe hears the people complaining, all the families are complaining, no one's happy. Ish petach olo. Vayicha af Hashem lo. God gets very angry. Got it? Uvenei Moshe ra, and God, Moshe's not happy. Now, if God's angry, what has happened up until now, every time God is angry? Moshe's always prayed for the people on their behalf. Now we have a total paradigm shift. What happens? V'yemer Moshe l'Hashem, lama hari'ota l'avadecha. Remember, everyone knows the parallel. Back in the Sefer Shemot, what did Moshe say? In the end of chapter 5, the end of Parshat Shemot, lama hari'ota l'amazeh. How come the Paro doubled the workload? Moshe says, you didn't tell us it's going to get worse before it gets better. How come you don't keep your promise? Moshe is sticking up on behalf of the people and complaining to God. How come you're being mean to your people? Now Moshe is saying the same words, but why are you being mean to me? After Chet Egel, when Moshe davens to God to forgive them, Moshe says, if I found favor, forgive them. Give them another chance. Don't take your Shekhinah away. And now he's saying, I didn't find favor in your eyes, right? Let's do it. Hamasal, like to put this burden of this people on me. This is what's called burnout. If you know, Moses burnt out from after a year of leading the people. He's had enough. Then he says, remember, did I conceive this nation? Did I give birth to them? Are they my responsibility? That Moses is saying, why are you telling me that I have to take this nation like a wet nurse takes care of a baby to bring him to land? And then he says, Ma'ain li basar, latet la alach hamasal, where am I getting? How can I solve the problem? Where are you going to get meat? Okay. Keep quelle the more tulan basar ben ochela. They're asking for real meat and I can't give it to them. How can I solve the problem? And if you think I have to do that, Moshe throws his hands up. And then the famous line, lo chal nochi levadi laset kol amazek, he kived mimeni. Moshe says, I can't do it anymore. Can't do it myself. And the big line, im kacha toseli, if that's what you want for me, Moshe says, you know what? Kill me now. Hargini naharog v'alret matzati chavit. If I was motzachen be'enai, if you really like me, kill me. It's really harsh, isn't it? It's like total burnout. Anyone who knows the feeling, anyone ever like teaching or running a shul or something like that, ask any shul rabbi, knows exactly the feeling when his tzibur doesn't appreciate him. So, yeah. But again, this is the first time we see this type of behavior of Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, back in the burning bush, he never wanted the job in the first place, it seems like. We didn't think he was worthy. And now it became almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. But Moshe says, I can't do it. Now, that is a leadership issue for sure, right? Moshe is saying, I don't want this leadership, definitely not on my own. Now, who can tell me from what you remember, what's God's answer? Moshe, yeah?
Yes. Can. He says, I can't do it. And God says, yes, you can. Oh, no, he says, and if you think you can't do it, okay, I'll give you some help.
And how much help is he going to get?
Through 70 is the kind of him.
That's not going to do much. But
where's he going to find them?
They're already there. They're the people, the Zakenim are already there.
I think these are different ones.
Zakenim Hadrovs.
We'll see in a minute. I don't think God said Moshe made him pick 70 helpers. You have what's called a taksiv. You have a budget now to hire 70 workers. It's not a budgetary thing. This is what he says. V'yomer Hashem el Moshe, esfa, see the buzzword? Esfali shirim ish mizignei Yisrael, asher yadata ki hem zignei ha'am v'shotrav. Don't pick people who you want. You pick people who are already leaders of the people. Don't take your appointees. Don't take your cabinet members that you appointed. Take people who you know are already the elders of the people and their officers. Take people who are already natural leaders. Every shevet, remember the whole government system in the desert was tribal. There's tribal leaders. Take people who are already in leadership positions in their tribe, who might not be so friendly with you, but pick people who are already leaders. This is what the point I'm trying to make today, is that God said, Moshe Rabbeinu, not just you need extra help, but and not just to delegate, share your leadership, but pick people who are naturally leaders. Natural leaders from the bottom up. Take people who've already shown leadership skills with their people. People, leaders who the people already identify with and work with them. But bring them to the tent of meeting, and they should stand there with you. And then the Niklaim, I'm going to speak to you there in front of them, together with them. And here's the big line. What's atzila mean? What they say here in English? I will take from the spirit. Remember this atzilei b'nei Yisrael who stand in Har Sinai?
Emanate.
I'm going to take, remember Chazal say that fire, like a candle, every that's Catholic, you know, NCSY, you know, Shabbaton kind of thing, that a fire, ner achad, ner lemea, there's one fire, a candle, it gives light to other candles, but it still remains lit. When you have ruach, when you have the step of ruach, sharing it with others doesn't take away from you. God's not saying, take your ruach and share it with the 70. It says, take your ruach and use it to inspire the 70. You follow the difference? It's not saying that Moshe had 70 units of leadership, and he said, take 69 of them or 70 and give them to other people, and you're left with less. No, take your ability, your leadership abilities, and use it to inspire others. And that's the idea of ruach. That's the idea of your spirit. Take your ruach and inspire other people. So take the ruach that you have, and I'll put it on them. They'll share with you the burden of the people. Now, a lot of people want to claim that this is the same story in Yitro. Remember? Some parshim say. I think it's very different. Let me explain why. Again, this is camp. Kids are going to camp this week. In camp, especially in Moshe, almost every camp, there's two types of staff. There's what's called Tzevet Chinuch and Tzevet Hadracha. Right? There's teaching staff who are in charge of teaching, not just Torah. There's teaching, I'm sure there's like teaching, you have ropes class, you have teaching, there's always what's called woodshop. There's like instructional swimming. You teach children how to do things. You give them activities. You need teachers to teach different skills, including Torah classes. And then you have bunk counselors, the leaders who are with the kids in the bunk at night, take them on overhike, take them on hike. They're like parents for the summer, like parents outsource parenting to the camp for the summer. Who's going to take care of kids without school? So basically, the two types of leadership you have in camp is called Tzevet Chinuch, educational staff, and Tzevet Hadracha. Hadracha is, counselors must be a better word for it, Hadracha. But it's a different type of leadership, and not all kids are fit for that. When you're running camp and you have like 20 applications in the summer, because everyone wants to go to camp, especially mixed camp, because that's the best place to meet a shidduch. So everyone wants to be, wants the best jobs. So if you're a madrich, if you're a bunk counselor, that means you have leadership qualities. So when you're picking staff members, you have to say who's going to be in charge of, who's going to be a bunk counselor and who's going to be in the Beit Midrash teaching classes and who's going to be, cleaning up what's called pluga, who's going to be in charge of cleaning up camp and who's going to be in the kitchen making food and things like that. Everyone has a job to do, but not everyone is fit for leading the people. So God said, Moshe Rabbeinu, take people who know already how to lead and share your leadership with them. Now, that solves problem number one. How about problem number two? Ve'la'am tomar yitkatru l'machar, tell people get ready. Very similar warning that we had at Har Sinai, remember? V'kidashtem ha'yom ha'machar v'chipsu sim lotam. Get ready for tomorrow. V'achatem basnu, you're going to eat meat. Remember, you complained about food. You doubted whether God can give you food because he told them you like life in Egypt was better. Okay, and God's going to give you basar and you eat. He says, not food for one day, not food for 2 days, for 5 days. I'll give you food for more than 20 days, up to a month. A month of food I'll bring you until it comes out of your nostrils. You want it, you can have as much as you want. And it's going to bring you down, okay? Okay. God is angry with their attitude. And again, their attitude about food shows that the fact that they missed the food in Egypt shows they missed life in Egypt. And we're going to get to the key problem in a minute. Where when the people left Egypt, they didn't leave Egypt begging God, we want to be God's people. We're going to go back and see what were their complaints before they left Egypt and where are their hearts. Would they rather be in Egypt in their old job serving Pharaoh, but they had a stable life with, you know, without big responsibilities, or did they want to take the responsibility of being God's people? Then Moshe says, how am I going to be able to feed all these people? And then what do you call it? No, there's not enough food to feed all them, to give them food. And God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you think God can't do it? You'll see. Atat tireh, notice, it's really cute. When was the last time God told Moshe Rabbeinu, atat tireh? You'll see what I'll do to somebody? So it's just something awesome words to hear. Yeah. The last time he said, Lama Hariota. Let's go back to our Chumash. We need to go to Sefer Shemot, the end of chapter 5. Where's chapter 5 in Shemot? Shemot chapter 5. Remember the end of chapter 5, what did Moshe say? Lama. And Moshe says, since I came to Pharaoh, it made only things worse. And that should be the last line of five. That's the beginning of the chapter. But God tells Moshe, Moshe says, you'll see what I'll do to Pharaoh. Because remember, he'll kick you out with the outstretched hand. And now, we have something very similar now in our story here. Where are we? Okay, God tells Moshe, you'll see that I'll fulfill my word. So Moshe goes out, he tells the people, and the first thing he does, he gathers together the 70 elders. We'll return to the story in a minute. Ve'er Hashem ba'anan. Okay. You see all the similarities like the Har Sinai again? Okay. And speak to him. And then Vayatza min haruach asher alav etenu shivim ish haskenim. Okay. And when he gave them, God takes the ruach from them, and they begin to do nevuah. Now, what's nevuah? But nabu, I think, means they speak on behalf of God. And navi is not necessarily someone who receives nevuah, but someone who explains to other people what God will want from them. A Navi is God's spokesperson. Now, sometimes, if he's worthy and there's a need, a necessity, God might come in a prophetic dream and tell a Navi and give him direction. But you can be a Navi without receiving nevuah if you're simply trained in understanding what God wants from you. Pretty much like a shul rabbi nowadays. But if people want guidance, what would God want from you? How to serve God properly? So God's spokesperson, that's what the word Navi means, speaks on behalf of God. And they begin, you know, giving, it's a type of leadership, religious leadership and guidance. Okay. Now, this is a really strange story. Two people, okay, in the camp who weren't in the 70, right, were outside, Eldad and Medad, okay, without going to why they didn't come, whatever it is. They didn't go to the tent to be with the other 70. And they started giving nevuah in the camp. And some nar, we don't know who he is, some tattle tells to Moshe Rabbeinu and tells him, Eldad and Medad, they're giving leadership in the camp. They're outside now. They're not part of this group. And they're taking the initiative on their own. Yeshua is really angry. Yeshua tells Moshe, you know what? Put him in jail. Okay? And Moshe says, leave him alone. How can you zealous for me? Other people can lead. Me tain, remember? Remember when they say me tain? God says, halavai, they should always fear God. Remember when they complained about they don't want to hear directly from God? Me tain halavai. No, they should. All the people should want to be leaders and represent God and talk about how to serve God properly. Kitein Hashem et ruach alehem. God's ruach should be with them. It's the same ruach of Moshe that goes to the elders. The same idea. God's ruach goes to the Navi. Okay. Now, but what's really interesting? What did Chazal say? Chazal say what was their nevuah that they were saying? Anyone remember? I should have brought on the source sheet. You can look it up.
That Moshe is going to die, Yeshua is going to take over and lead them into
exactly,
the
rest. Yeah. God says, Yeshua, but Moshe and Aaron are going to die, and Yeshua is going to lead them into Israel. What are Chazal saying? That in this story is already the beginning of the leadership failure of Moshe and Aaron. Now, this story is the beginning of the problem that's going to manifest itself in the end of Sefer Bamidbar, but the writing's on the wall. It's happening, okay? Okay, and then the status part, okay, Moshe gathers now the nation together, right, with the elders, and then the Ruach comes from God, and the same Ruach, the same word Ruach, right, that God took from Moshe and the people, and that God gives to the Nevi'im, another Ruach comes now and brings what? Brings these birds, the quail, and it fills the whole camp, you know, basically two amas high all around the camp, and the people get up, they eat the whole next day, they gather, remember that safsuf, that sof. Remember, the whole monastery, the buzzer was, the verb was leket, means to glean, to take a little bit, ish lefi achlo, and now lesof is to hoard. Okay? They hoard this flav. The smallest guy took 10 piles, okay? And they put it everywhere. Basically, it's a big, mamas a smorgasbord. They were so excited, all the food. Habasal ben ben shinehem. Anyone know what halacha we learned from here? Just for the fun of it, was Rabbi Jay. This pasuk affects us more than any other pasuk in Chumash. As far as
how long we have to wait
between milk and flesh. The Gemara talks about a basar ben hashinayim, that food stuck between your teeth is still called basar. They learned it from here. What's interesting, it's not meat. This is birds. It's quail. But the idea is basar doesn't mean only animals from day six. Any type of meat that you eat in your mouth. Basically, we learn from here that food in your mouth between your teeth is still considered food. As opposed to once it hits your stomach, it's considered already part of your body. Okay. And then God gets angry. Got it. And many people die. And they call the place Kibrot HaTava, Kishem Kibrot HaAmam Mitabim. See the word Tava again? Now, we're going to use this on the flip side. Again, our time's almost up. But if from the people's point of view, I want to explain why the people are so unhappy. Because they ask for food, God gives them food, and what happens? They die. What did God do to Pharaoh? We're leaving Egypt. Remember, we tell Pharaoh we're going 3 days in the desert to serve our God. We're on our way, then we start going back to Egypt. We don't do what we said. Pharaoh chases us, and what happens? Pharaoh gets washed up, Kriyat Yam Suf. What's it look like? It looks like the people, then remember Moshe goes up to the mountain for 40 days and leaves Aaron in charge? Remember that story? Aaron, their leader, who Moshe appointed on behalf of God, tells the people to give me your gold, he makes the ego. The people serve the ego that Aaron made, and what happened? 3,000 get killed, and maybe even more with the Magefa. What's it look like to the people? God just loves killing people. You follow? But I want to understand the people's attitude, and that's what I want to end the share with, which we have to continue with next week. What I want to show you, let's do a quick, here, I am on the source sheet, I have them all summarized. We're just going to do a tour through Tanakh. I'm going to use a better Tanakh now, which is easier to see because it's easy Hebrew. I'm going to use not an English Hebrew one, but what's it, Tanakh Menukad? Here we go. I'll take this one. Let's take a look now. From Sefer Shmot, I want to make this smaller. Wait, did I share my screen? No, we're good. Let me do my screen right. Share screen and Tanakh. Here we are. Let's go with the end of chapter 2 in Shmot. The first time we see the people. After Moshe is born and everything, at the very end of chapter 2, right before the burning bush. People are hoping the new king, things will be better, but it's only worse. The people are complaining about their hard work. They're not saying we want redemption, we want to be God's people. They don't like the workload. And God hears their cry. They don't even cry to God in Pshat. In Dorimus says they cry to God. But they cried out from the hard work. God heard the cry from their oppression. And he remembered the brit of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And God saw their suffering. The people aren't crying for redemption. They're crying for a lighter workload. Because they don't like working so hard. And that's why in chapter 5, remember? When the workload only doubles after Moshe promises redemption, they get really angry. They accept Moshe as their new leader with his election promises. And he goes against every promise he made when he elected him. And the people are angry. Then in Parsha Ba'era, before the Makot begin, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, remember, Ani Hashem, in the famous lines of Lechena Morta Bnei Yisrael Ani Hashem, Votzeiti B'tzalti B'galti, and you know, we won't do this, but in light of Yechezkel, Moshe tells us to Bnei Yisrael, Vemer V'lo Shema Moshe. According to Yechezkel, this was a call to get rid of their Egyptian culture and change their ways. They weren't willing to listen, but they have a good excuse because of the hard work. But God was hoping a bit of readiness before we leave Egypt. Again, next week we'll see Yechezkel more in detail. They're not ready. Now, we have the 10 plagues. In chapter 14, listen to their attitude. After witnessing the 10 plagues and everything that happened, and, you know, Makat Bechor and everything, what happens? We're leaving Egypt. Remember? Pharaoh takes the bait, remember? He chases the people. When we don't go to the desert, we go back. Remember, we return. And then, V'chakshem v'paro v'idof hachre b'nei Yisrael. Okay? V'yidifu mitzam achrem. We're in chapter 14, verse 9. Okay? The Egyptian army with the chariot starts catching them already. And we're encamped by the sea. V'yicharot. U'paru y'kriv. Paru gets close. V'yistu b'nei Yisrael t'enehem. V'yine mitzam nusei achrem. Amiso looks up. Oh my gosh, the Egyptian army is about to kill them. They're very scared. V'yitzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem. They cry out to God. V'yimro Moshe. Moshe is God's representative. Listen to their attitude. Hamiblin kvarim b'mitzrayim lekachtanu lomut b'amidbar. Mazot asita lanu lotzen b'mitzrayim. See how sarcastic they are? What's their assumption? That God is in cahoots with Pharaoh and Moshe to get them killed the easy way. Okay? The word, what's their assumption? God wants us all dead. It would be difficult for Egypt to kill us all in Egypt because we're scattered over. So God took us out of Egypt with the agency of Moshe Rabbeinu to bring us all together to kill us together. I'll bring a really bad example. It's a terrible example, but from the Holocaust. Remember, they would march people to one big place, open a big pit, and just kill them all at once. You understand my analogy? It's when you want to do mass murder, so they're accusing God of mass murder. You see what they're doing? Saying they understand here, instead of seeing the place, that's exactly what Tidemai Kat was talking about. What do they see? They see a God who loves killing people. All we just complained, our work was too hard. We didn't ask for all this roller coaster of events. And all they see is a God who tricks people and kills them. Okay? And then he says, Halo azed davar shir tibar. We told you back in Egypt, leave us alone and let us serve Egypt. V'nadbat Mitzrayim. Ki tov lanu avod Mitzrayim imutenu b'amidbar. If you want us dead, kill us in Egypt. Don't kill us out here in the desert. So God's going to do Kriyat Yam Suf, and hopefully when it's over for one day, they believe in God. Yeah? But go to the next chapter. In chapter 15, I'll skip Marah, because Marah's, we go 3 days, but we're out of time. But just take a look in chapter 16. There's no food. Remember? Vayilonu kodav b'nei Yisrael Moshe in chapter 16, when they get to Midbar Sin. Vayimru alem b'nei Yisrael. Mi ten mutenu b'yad Hashem b'eretz Mitzrayim. We should have died in Egypt. V'shivtenu asir ha-basar. V'achvinu lechem l'sova. Ki yotzeitem otanu midbar hazeh l'hamit. Not to die, but l'hamit, to kill us with famine. And then we have the monster where God saves them. A week later, in Rephidim, we run out of water. What do the people say? The people complain, give us water. Okay? The people, Vayel and Amon Moshe, they complain to Moshe Rabbeinu, and say, Lama zeh litan mitzayim l'hamit oti b'benai b'ekmai b'tzama. Isn't that consistent, their attitude? They see themselves on a death march. Now, after this, the sin of the golden calf, were what? Where Moshe tells them Aaron's in charge, Aaron tells them to make the ego, and the people serve the ego and get killed and punished. Many of them, right? And now listen to our story. They ask for food. God says, you want food? I'll give you food. And God makes it rain slav, and what happens? The people eat the food and they die. What's it look like? It looks like it's a setup. And now I'll end this year with what's going to happen next week in Parshat Shlach. Guess what happens? God commands them to go to the land of Israel and conquer the Canaanites, the walled cities. What do they think? What's God want? Who's going to do the dirty work? The Canaanites, got it? Why is God sending us, commanding us to go into Canaan? Because it's a suicide attack. I mean, no, God's having trouble. God's thinking of interesting ways to get us, to kill us. And the people say, we're not going to fall for it this time. We're not going to go and get killed in these walled cities. We're going to go back. We'd rather go back to Egypt and serve Pharaoh. But I'm trying to show you their attitude problem, because they're basically, it's an educational problem. Now, next week, we have to talk about what's this connection between Basar and Ruach and leadership. There's something going on here that's going to have to solution. But we'll get to it when we get to with Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership with the people and what goes wrong. But next week we have to do this. We'll take this background to understand what the sin of the spies, and then that'll be next week. It was this week we talked about the people. Next week we'll use this to understand the leadership problem, what God wanted from the Meraglim or from the Tayarim. We'll see next week. But why is it the leadership fault? And later we'll see, in the third show we'll see how it might be, we're Moshe and Aaron are to blame in all this. Okay, I'll just take the chat real fast. I've got to go to the airport in a minute, so I'm going to do this quickly. Wanted to apologize. Okay, I'm sorry. Noah, okay. Look at these core prayers, see Kohelet. So the dust returns to the earth. Oh, the spirit returns to God. Okay. That's the question. Is this Ruach? Is this the theological Ruach of the spirit of man? I want to claim something different. I don't think it's the Ruach of Kohelet. I think that's more of a second temple. That's a different type of theology of Ruach. I'm not disagreeing with that. I just think Ruach here is spirit that inspires leadership, which we'll talk about next week. Now, Shachri prayers, Nefesh Kochai, Ruach Kol Masaris, that's it. We have this, Hanasham Malach, Baguf Palach. We have that during Slichot. Okay, we'll talk about that later. That's good. V'loy Esfu, okay? That was a one-shot. Okay, very good. Okay, thank you. And okay. Anyway, thanks so much, everybody. I hope I didn't depress you too much, but later we'll try to see what we can learn from here. Somehow, we always learn something to learn from. But I want you to appreciate the generation coming out of Egypt. On the one hand, you can't miss their perspective. They see themselves on a death march. Okay? And bottom line, that's what happens to them. The generation never makes it. And it's a real tragedy. And then we have to talk about not only the goal isn't, we're not trying to have who to blame to know who to blame. We want to find out what went wrong so we can hopefully learn from those mistakes and not do it again. And that's why we saw Tilly Mindfit. Okay, Jay, I have to leave because I got to go to the airport.
That's fine. Yeah. Go off to the airport. Okay, everybody. Actually, I was just trying to put in the chat box for those who are here. You want to make it easier. You want to register for Lori Novak's series beginning Tuesday. It's at 1:30 p.m., 8:30 in Israel. So that's Reading the Talmud with Levinas. So that's this Tuesday. That's our new series. And as I mentioned at the beginning, Tova Ganzel will start her series next week. And then we have all the regular classes, Marty Lection and Daniel Lasker and Shuli Mishkin and the Siddur and Barsha, all the regular classes this week, except for Mark Shapiro is not on this week. He'll be back next week. And, okay, we look forward to learning with you. And as always, please invite a friend. And always willing to hear your comments. And I know I always get into trouble when I ask people, should this class be this time or that time? So whatever, we'll. In the meantime, Baruch Hashem, we'll see you next week, hopefully at 11:15. And thank you very much. All the best. Okay, be well. Shavua Tov.